Okay. Anyway, we were talking about the mitzvah of Machtis HaShekel, because that comes up in these parshios. And in the mitzvah of Machtis HaShekel, there are really three components. There was the one-time mitzvah of the half shekel that was melted down and for the sockets. There was the annual mitzvah of Machtis HaShekel, in which every single year when there was a Beis HaMikdash, we gave half a shekel for the korbanos of the tzibor. And then there is a third principle of the Machtis HaShekel that has really nothing to do with the Machtis HaShekel and nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, and that is whenever the Jewish people are counted, they must be counted indirectly by counting things as opposed to counting them directly by heads. And that's nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. That would even apply today. When you count people, they should be counted indirectly. So what I want to talk about today is I want to talk about first the Machtis HaShekel, that is the annual mitzvah, and what that represents. Right? The Torah says that the Korban Sibur of Am Yisrael, the Korban Sibur of Am Yisrael has to come from communally collected funds that are based on the half shekel that everybody gives. Now, what's interesting about that half shekel is that the Torah says, Ha'asher lo yarbe, a rich person is not allowed to give more, V'hadal lo yamit, and a poor person is not allowed to give less. Everybody must give the same amount. Now, this raises a certain question, that is, we understand the idea that a poor person must still give a minimum because we have minimums, right? No matter what, you got to pay something. But where would we ever say a rich person can't give more? Again, I'm not the official spokesperson of Or Sameach, but I'm pretty sure if somebody would go to Rabbi Schiller and offer to give more than full tuition, we would accept it, we would take it, we would not say no. And the same thing is true for every yeshiva, every shul. Who's going to say we're not going to take more? Yeah.
How is it poor if they all have feasible gold, right?
That's actually a very good question. Of course, the question becomes, it depends on your relationship with your neighbors, right? Because the way we got the gold and silver was each person would take it, would go to their neighbor and ask to take gold and silver. So if your neighbors didn't like you, maybe you got less, right? So some people got more, some people got less. It is a very excellent question. But the short answer is that the Torah is not only referring to that generation, the Torah is referring, it's eternal. So every pasuk in the Torah will have an eternal application. And even if in the Midbar people were of equal income, so to speak, but nevertheless, Ledoros, there would be a difference. Also, I do want to point out that in addition to the gold and silver of Egypt, the Jews who left Egypt had different economic conditions. We don't realize this, but according to the Medrash, although every Jew was a slave, except maybe for the tribe of Levi, but some slaves were quite wealthy. Because you can be a slave in different levels. You could be vice president of your master's company. And maybe as a slave you got a very big salary. So although it's true that many people were beaten, of course, and all of that, but some slaves were doing okay. So indeed, there were some slaves who left Mitzrayim wealthy. That would actually explain a little bit of the complaints, right? People always wonder, how could the generation in the desert always complain about how good things were in Egypt? For some people, it wasn't so bad. It reminds me, years ago, around 15 years ago, I was in, for Or Sameach, I was in South Africa for Shavuos. So, did a tiny bit of touring, not a lot of touring, but we went to Soweto. Now, Soweto is a big, big slum, black slum outside of Johannesburg. So we're going, and, Soweto's full of shacks, and, it's a really, poor, downtrodden place, and kids come out, and they want to take your picture, for some money, or whatever it is. But then, all of a sudden, in the middle of Soweto, middle of these dumps, see, huge mansions are there. So apparently there were people who lived in Soweto that were rich. Now maybe they were drug dealers, I don't know what they did. But apparently, even in these conditions, people can prosper. And the truth of the matter is, the same thing was true for slaves. The Medrash tells us some slaves were wealthy and some slaves were poor. Okay, all right. So the question becomes, going back to Machtis HaShekel, rich person can give no more, poor person can give no less. Why can't a rich person give more? Now, one answer you might give is this, that in the Midbar, the Machzis HaShekel was the mechanism by which the Jewish people were counted. Now you understand, you can only compute a population by the money that they gave if everybody gave the same. So then I could say, let me count how many shkalim I have and multiply it by two. So that tells me how many half shekels were given. I know how many people. If some people could give 10 shekels, some people give 1 shekel, then you won't be able to compute the population by virtue of the shkalim. Now, even if that's a good answer, that's a good answer only in the desert, only in the desert itself. But in future generations, the Machzis HaShekel was not always a census device. And there's still a halacha, rich people cannot give more. So what is the lesson here? So the Svarim tell us the following idea. It's a very significant idea. Rich and poor can mean more than money. People can be rich in money, people can be poor in money. But rich and poor can also refer to the totality of abilities and talents that people have. A person might be rich in wisdom and insight or inspiration or charisma or even physical abilities and the like. And a person might be poor, relatively poor, in a number of those areas. Usually every person has some aspects in which you are rich and some aspects in which you are poor, right? That's the way it is. Everyone does have, indeed, some special talents. Sometimes, we don't even know what they are, but they are there. So the lesson here is that when it comes to serving God, because that's what the Shkolim go for. What do the Shkolim go for? Avodas Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. When it comes to serving Hashem in the temple, and that of course is a prototype for serving Hashem generally, the person who is